Hello, everyone in Construction Land. Welcome again to another episode of Constructive Conversations. I'm your host, Eddie Thompson of Brown Edwards & Company, CPA firm. Today, I have with me one of our employees, one of my associates, cohorts, partners in crime, one of the guys that I get into the trenches with all of these construction projects that we work on, consulting, presentations, all the fun stuff. So today, I have with me Craig Daniels. Craig Daniels is a CPA and a CCIFP. He's been with the firm, I believe, now for 13 years. If my memory serves correctly, I just saw an anniversary that popped up for 13 years at the firm in public accounting. I'm going to let Craig talk a little bit about himself now and just give you a background of his upbringing, career, and personal life so far. Go ahead, Craig.
Hey, everyone. How's everybody doing? As Eddie mentioned, I'm Craig Daniels. I'm a director in our Charleston office here in Charleston, West Virginia. I grew up in a small town, Mill Creek, West Virginia, in Randolph County. I went to Tigers Valley High School, graduated in 2008, went on to get my accounting degree from Concord University in 2012. And all I've known since then has really been public accounting and life here at Brown Edwards. In my personal life, I have a wife and two kids. Most of the time, I can be found at a softball or a baseball field these days. As Eddie mentioned, I'm a CPA and CCIFP. I obtained my CPA license in September of 2015, and I became a certified construction industry financial professional shortly thereafter. It may have been 2017, 2018, somewhere in that ballpark. Looking forward to this conversation with Eddie today and bringing some information to you folks about CFMA, CCIFP, and some other great things that we do here at Brown Edwards.
Good deal. So today we're just going to pretty much have a shop talk. We're going to get into some things related to the CFMA, the construction industry in general, and then some of the things that Craig and I have been involved with. So Craig had mentioned that he's, and I'd mentioned he's a CCIFP, so am I. And that is a designation through the Construction Financial Management Association, which stands for Certified Construction Industry Financial Professional. Here at Brown Edwards, we currently have 12 CCIFPs on staff, which ranks us pretty high in the country as far as construction CPA firms. I believe we are 32nd. Is that correct?
That sounds correct. I know we're inside the top 40.
In the Construction Executive Magazine publication, top 50 construction CPA firms.
That is correct. Yep.
So we put a lot of merit into our CCIFP designations. And basically, you know, what it means is that we understand construction accounting, taxes, things related to the construction industry, financial professionals, business, you know, the way they have to approach business in general. But Craig, we're talking about CFMA a good bit today. And you and I and Tim George had the pleasure of going out to Las Vegas back in November for the joint AGC-CFMA conference. It was the CFMC conference. And not only was it a good time, but we also got to hear a lot of good CPE and a lot of good presentations that went on, and kind of a way for everyone to get together and talk more CFMA stuff. What was your experience from that trip?
That was a great trip. You know, CFMA is a good organization that's really out there to help educate the CFOs, the controllers at these construction industry, construction firms in and around the country and around the world. You know, construction accounting is a little different than most. It's all I've really known since I got started here in 2012. So it's kind of the normal for me and you as well. But there's a lot of nuances to percentage of completion and revenue recognition and all that fun stuff that gets folded into a set of financial statements for a construction company. And so CFMA really provides some great education opportunities to folks that may not be experts in the field of construction accounting or that are looking to become experts in the field of construction accounting. Not only is it educational, but it also provides a way to connect with peers and, you know, maybe other CPA firms, other construction firms in and around the country. And it gives us a network of financial professionals that we can rely on and we can have conversations with to ultimately have a better product for the end users of a set of financial statements, you know, your banks, your bonding companies, and things of that nature. So a couple of the real good CPE topics that came up while we were in Las Vegas was a tax update. Even though you know, the conference was held right around election day. And anytime there's an election, there's always going to be tax changes and conversations to be had about upcoming tax law changes. So there were some good discussions around things that your contractor could do to plan better and plan accordingly for potential tax changes. Another good topic that was discussed at a very high level was fraud detection and fraud prevention. In the day and age that we are in right now with phishing emails and IT and the upcoming AI, it's fraudsters are very good. So there's a lot of good CPE out there on that topic and ways that construction companies can, you know, insulate themselves or protect themselves, you know, to help mitigate the risks that are associated with that. And those were two high-end topics that we talked about that I found very beneficial.
Yeah, I believe we, like I mentioned, we sat through several presentations and got a lot of CPE out of it to meet our state requirements and our firm requirements for CPE, but also to our CCIFP requirements as far as how many construction continuing professional education hours we have to have on ongoing basis. Some pretty good standards there that holds us accountable to make sure that we're keeping ourselves educated and keeping on top of things in the construction industry.
Yeah, the rules are, while the rules don't always change in on the GAAP side of your financial presentation, it's always good to sharpen the pencil and really make sure that we are at the forefront of any changes and have the best information at our fingertips to help our clients, to provide that high level, high end consulting and advice to help them be successful and continue to be successful in their endeavors.
Yeah. So, you know, one thing that you and I do, well, several things that you and I do, we're very involved with the A&A department in attestation. We prepare a lot of financial statements, audits, reviews, compilations. We do a lot of consulting work for our clients and tax planning. You know, there's a lot that goes into, you know, what we do and the timing of when we are able to get it done. In doing all of that, I know in my 26 plus years and your 13 plus years, we've made a lot of contacts and a lot of relationships, not just with our clients, but also with what we would call referral sources, such as the sureties and then the banks and the insurance companies. You know, all of these parties create a community, so to speak, of the construction industry here locally in West Virginia and outside surrounding states where we service. And what I wanted to get into now is, while we're talking about a community in the CFMA, currently in West Virginia, there is no CFMA chapter. There's several in Ohio, Kentucky, Virginia, Tennessee, all the states that surround us, but not so much in West Virginia. I know that you're tasked with getting that started, and hopefully we'll see some fruits of that before too long, but could you talk a little bit about your efforts in putting together a West Virginia CFMA chapter?
Yeah, absolutely. So as you mentioned, there's no local chapters here in West Virginia. If we want to be involved in CFMA, we have to venture out to into Virginia. There's a Blue Ridge chapter around, I think they're right in the Harrisonburg area and in that general area. Venture westward into Cincinnati and Columbus, Dayton, and I believe there may be one in and around Louisville area in Kentucky. So our goal is really to try to bring this to life in the state of West Virginia. There's a lot of efforts and a lot of resources in the state of West Virginia for contractors, such as the Contractors Association of West Virginia, the Associated Builders and Contractors. But that's more of a resource for owners and the employees, the field guys, the folks out there doing the work. And what we want to do is we want to bring some resources together for the back office folks, your CFOs, your controllers, your accounting group, to really help educate them, one, also to put together a really good network of resources. You know, I may not have an answer, but another, you know, maybe somebody in West Virginia has ran into the same issue that I have. I can reach out. I can talk through things with them. So I began this process about 8 months ago. Currently, I have developed what is called a steering committee, and it's a group of 3 to 5 individuals that are going to be there to really helped me get this off the ground. And kind of the next step is to drum up enough support from what is considered to be general members. That's your contractors. That's your heavy highway folks. That's your general construction, your vertical builders. As you mentioned, we have a lot of resources when it comes to referral sources and whatnot. Those are viewed more as associate members. Under CFMA, you have to have a certain percentage of your membership to be general members. So what the steering committee and myself are doing right now is just that. Gauging the interest level in the state of West Virginia, because while we want this to come to light in the state of West Virginia, we also want to make sure that we do it in such a way that it is successful and it lasts longer than my first term as an officer in the group. This is something that we want to see carry on for the next 30, 40, 50 years. And I firmly believe that the way you do that is put in the effort on the front end. It may take more time to get it off the ground, but you have a solid group of individuals that are ready and willing to help. And like I said, I've identified those folks here in the state that I think will be great at helping me do that. And now our goal is to get enough support to really get this thing off the ground. So, you know, if your listeners decide that this is something they would be interested in, I would love to have them reach out to me. My information is on the Brown Edwards website, becpas.com. Maybe we can link that in the show notes of this episode as well. And just like I said, if the listeners out there would like to get more information on this or look to be a part of this, I would love to have them reach out to me. I would be more than willing to talk with them and hear what they had to say so we can really make this a successful endeavor.
Good deal. It'd be something that would be great to get started in our state. I'm sure it would benefit a lot of people, a lot of financial professionals in the construction industry, and also create, you know, that sense of community and give everybody a sounding board, maybe a peer group, so to speak.
Yes.
So definitely looking forward to getting that going and seeing the fruits of your labor there. So one thing I want to talk about, you know, we've talked about the types of services that we perform, you know, what we've been doing in our careers, but the construction industry in general, yeah, I've been able to pretty much specialize my entire career in construction. Although I have been able to not necessarily be a generalist, but to get some exposure to other industries, other niches. And, you know, by far, the construction industry is where I specialize and what I enjoy the most. Have you been able to get any other exposure into other industries other than construction?
Yeah. So when I first started, I did quite a bit of work for and involved with the natural resources, coal, natural gas, timber, and occasionally I'll still get a consulting job that I will be involved in that is in that industry. Another industry that I serve pretty significantly, but I view as part of that construction umbrella really is engineering firms. I perform overhead audits or FAR audits under the federal acquisitions regulations. Tim George, who you mentioned earlier, and myself oversee approximately 15 FAR audits here as part of Brown Edwards. And it's just, it's kind of a specialty niche that the engineering firms have to submit their overhead rate to various departments of transportation as part of their bid and proposal process. So we assist in that. And that's a big part of my year from April through June when most of those are due.
Yeah. Good deal. I think you would probably also agree with me that right now the construction industry in general is doing pretty well. Yeah. They've gone through, it always ends up being kind of secular. And during COVID, you know, there was a lot of apprehension about, you know, what was going to happen. And we've seen some supply shortages and labor shortages, price escalations, different things. But a lot of funding came out of that also. And I believe for the last few years, at least in my opinion, we've seen a pretty good steady flow of work out there. Obviously, things can change or financial times have been a little iffy, a little scary. I went through an election and possibly almost touched on that recession. But yeah, thankfully, I believe at least for the construction industry, we've seen a pretty steady flow of work.
Yeah, I would agree with that. There's a lot of dollars that are being spent on infrastructure projects. Here in West Virginia, simply just driving up I-9, you see several bridge deck replacements and paving contracts that are going on. So there's work out there, but you know, as we talk to our clients, they're always looking for that next project. They want to make sure that they've got that backlog. You know, even if you have a client that has a banner year, one thing that they're always looking for is that next project. They want to make sure that they're going to be able to have that backlog to support their current success and be able to, you know, kind of keep that company on that growth stage. But also, you know, one thing that they have to do and what we can help them with and assist them with is finding ways to prepare just in case those downturns in the economy do happen. There's always things that clients can do in an effort to have a healthy balance sheet or a healthy backlog to kind of try to weather those storms when they do come. Because like you said, it's cyclical. They don't, those storms do pass. So if we can have conversations with our client and provide them with some solid advice and ways to help, I don't want to say survive, but help them kind of be ready to get through those downturns, because those do happen. You know, if you look back through history, there's always ebbs and flows, and it's going to be like that way in the construction industry as well.
Yeah. And that's a great segue also for the next thing I want to talk about. You and I have done a few presentations together. We've kind of traveled the roads and attended some conferences and some regional, national meetings and presented at some companies' meetings. And one of the things we've touched on before in our presentations was succession planning and strategic planning. But currently, you and I are slated to go to Chattanooga in August for the CFMA Chattanooga Regional Conference. And we'll be presenting on maximizing your balance sheet for bonding and banking capacity. That's another thing that you were just talking about. You would like to talk about clients and help them strategize and position themselves so they can succeed. And one of those ways is to make sure that they have enough bonding capacity and have a good enough relationship for their lending capacity also. But that's, you know, it's one thing that maybe comes second nature to me and you and the other folks in our construction niche that just isn't thought about that much when it comes down to the year end. A construction firm is putting their balance sheet together and you know, thinking about certain things. This isn't a quiz or anything, but I was just going to ask you, and we'll name off a few things that contractors can do to maximize their balance sheet.
Yeah. So one thing that I've seen one of my clients be pretty successful at that has been helpful to them in enhancing their balance sheet is to negotiate favorable retention terms. You know, they want to make sure that they're collecting their cash as quickly as possible from their billing. So, you know, they have a set group of customers, set group of subcontractors, and they'll negotiate those retention terms both from a receivable side and a payable side in such a way that it is favorable to their balance sheet. You know, another client of mine, they had slower collections for a long time, but in recent years, they've made a very conscious effort to turn those collections around quicker. And that allows them to have more cash on hand, allows them to utilize that cash from those billings to finance projects as they're going along without having to maybe dip into a line of credit or things of that nature. So those are two items that I've seen be pretty useful and pretty successful in recent terms.
And we'll back up just a quick second here. When we're getting into talking about maximizing your bonding capacity, your key drivers in your ability to bond a job is your working capital and your equity. And when you're looking at your working capital on your balance sheet and you're just taking current assets minus current liabilities, that's not necessarily how the surety is going to look at your working capital. So we have to take in consideration some items that they're going to discount, you know, like receivables over 90 days, discounting inventory and prepaid assets, you know, certain things like that, or even related party advances and payables. So we got to kind of step back, get the bigger picture of what are we trying to accomplish? We're trying to increase that working capital, the discounted working capital that the surety is going to look at. And also, how profitable is the company and how much are they retaining those profits in the business to build up their equity, you know, as part of that factor? You mentioned receivables. That's a huge thing. Managing your receivables to keep them out of 90 days, keep your retainages low. But also underbillings is a huge area when we're talking about current assets, because underbillings, and if you're not familiar with underbillings, on a percentage of completion basis, when you recognize revenue, you may recognize revenue at 50% of the project because you're 50% complete. But if you have only billed a fourth of the contract amount, then you're underbilled for that other fourth. So that raises questions with the bonding company as to why you're not able to bill that, what you say that you've already earned. You know, have you really earned it? Have you not? Are there problems with the billings process? Are they not approving them? You know, what's going on with that? So we always try to help and encourage clients to manage their underbillings to keep those low. Sometimes it's just impossible with the process of how things get billed, and that's sometimes even, you know, with state projects.
Yeah, and so I'm glad you mentioned underbillings, but also the flip side of that is overbillings. You know, your overbilling or your billings in excess of contract revenues earned, that's a liability on your balance sheet. And if you put on your intro to accounting hat, you know, assets good, liabilities bad. Well, an overbilling or a contract revenue or billings in excess of contract revenues earned, yes, that's a liability, but that is, you're able to bill on the front end for work that you're currently or getting ready to work on. And that's allowing that owner of the project to help you finance that job. It's not a bad thing to have that liability on your balance sheet. If you look at a lot of the more successful, more tenured contractors, they're more likely to be net overbilled and see that bigger liability on their balance sheet more so than
exactly. And there are other things, you know, to manage your working capital, such as making sure you don't pay cash for equipment. I know everybody likes the feeling of having something paid off, but when you're looking at your balance sheet, if it comes out of cash, that's a direct hit to your working capital as opposed to financing something long term. Or even on the liability side, if you have a line of credit and that entire line of credit is going against your working capital and you have the ability to term it out over 5 years, then that increases your working capital that way. You know, just different things that we have come up throughout the years, throughout, I'm going to say, decades of experience working with contractors closely with their sureties and even having these discussions with the surety companies. We've pretty much not discovered every scenario, but come up with a lot of scenarios on how to improve your balance sheet for bonding and banking. And we could probably spend a whole hour on this, but I would encourage anyone that's listening to this to, if you have the chance to hear our presentation sometime or whenever we do this for a webinar, make sure you tune into that, but it's definitely a good way to learn how to maximize that financial statement that actually you don't pay attention to until hopefully it's not too late for you to be able to do something about it. One thing I wanted to do to let our listeners get to know Craig a little bit better was to do some true or false.
Okay.
So
do that.
One word answers, true or false, no rebuttals. Okay. All right. You are a travel softball coach.
That is true. That is true.
All right. Just one word. Okay. That was multiple words there. Okay. You are a CFMA rising star.
True.
Very true. Craig was awarded that distinguishment. What year was it, Craig?
2024.
That's a very high honor. It means that Craig is, one, a lot younger than I am, and two, that he is on his way to the top. Craig is definitely one of the leaders in our construction niche here at the firm. You are one of the youngest directors in the firm.
I think that's true.
Are you the youngest one?
I don't know that answer.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Not allowed to ask people's ages.
Yeah.
But I think you'd have to be up there as far as one of the youngest ones. Okay. You work more than 70 hours in 1 week this tax season.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you did. The Atlanta Braves are your favorite baseball team.
True.
The Atlanta Braves are 10 games out of first place.
I don't want to talk about it.
That would be false. They're 11 games out of first place. The Red Sox have a better record than the Atlanta Braves.
Can I plead the fifth?
That'll be true. Okay. You ate my lunch out of the refrigerator.
It was a great turkey sandwich.
All right. You once flew to Scotland for a Taylor Swift concert.
I did purchase this shirt while I was in Scotland.
For a Taylor Swift concert.
My wife went to the concert.
So I true. Went to Scotland. You once flew to Scotland for a Taylor Swift concert. All right. Now, I want to quiz you a little bit more because I know you're young, but you may have caught my 30 days of yacht rock inspiration for the construction industry.
I've seen a couple posts on LinkedIn, yeah.
So this is kind of a pop culture thing that I always struggle with, especially in today's age, when I mentioned some old shows that, you know, like Happy Days, and the associates that are just out of college have no idea who the Fonz is. So I want to ask you, I want to name some of the songs on my 30 days of yacht rock inspiration for the construction industry and see if you know who sings them. All right.
I'll give my best shot.
If you get three right, I'll buy your lunch.
Okay.
All right. Ride Like the Wind, Christopher Cross.
I don't think I'm getting my lunch here.
Can you name one other song that Christopher Cross sings?
I cannot.
Sailing. Okay. All right. This one's easy. This is probably also the number one yacht rock song of all time. What a Fool Believes.
I have no idea, Eddie.
It's so disappointing.
I'm letting you down here. I know.
It's the Doobie Brothers, but it's probably more well recognized for the melodic voice of Michael McDonald. All right, I'm going to give you an easy one. Africa.
Toto.
Hey, there you go. You got one. Okay. All right, here's another one. The Pina Colada song. Everybody knows it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Better known as Escape.
I don't know.
Rupert Holmes.
All right. I'm not great with pop.
It's not looking very good for you. No, I know. But I'm going to try to throw you a bone here.
You got any Jimmy Buffett on this list?
Ooh. All right, I'm going to throw you a bone here. Baby Come Back. Player. My goodness. All right, I'm going to give you two more. And you're going to have to get them both right to get that free lunch. This is it.
I'm not getting a free lunch. I'll buy you lunch instead.
Kenny Loggins. I tried to make it easy on you, but that's just the generational difference.
I think so.
That I deal with on a daily basis.
That's fair.
Although my 20-year-old, Ian, he absolutely loves yacht rock music. So I'm hoping it makes a comeback.
It might.
All right. We'll get ready to wrap this up. But I just want to ask you a few more questions. You know, we talked about the CFMA West Virginia chapter you're trying to get kickstarted. What else is on the horizon for your career?
You know, I know at the onset I mentioned that public accounting is about all that I've known, and I've had such a good experience with it and the people that I work with and the firm that I work for. You know, I don't know that there's anything else on the horizon for me but public accounting. I really enjoy what I do, the people I work with, and the client base. You know, I love working with contractors and getting to know those folks and hopefully providing some good insight to them to help them continue to be successful.
So what are some fun things that you like about your job, though?
Getting to get out and visit with my clients. I'm the type of person that likes to talk to just about everybody. So anytime I can get out and meet with my clients in person, get to know them. Of course, there's some fun things that we do. You know, we'll go play in some golf scrambles here and there, go to these conferences and get to know folks. And one thing that I personally enjoy is being able to help our young staff, the newer staff, kind of make their mark in public accounting as well, and just kind of be there to help them through their.
Yeah, I think that's a big thing, is advocacy for the CPA industry. Through no doing of my own, have been blessed to see both of my sons with direction in the fact that, you know, my oldest one, he graduated from Marshall last December, now works for us in our tax department. I got my other son that you know both of them, but my other son's interning this summer, and they're getting a good experience in public accounting. And I try to get out and talk to those in high school so they have some sort of direction. Whenever I graduated high school and went into college, I went into engineering not knowing what it was. I didn't know what any career was because I didn't feel like they had done a good enough job in high school of preparing us for things like that, you know, with career fairs or shadowing or internships or anything like that. But I know that I want to bring this up because it is something that you do every month or every few weeks or whatever, but you do mentor a child at the elementary school level. You want to talk about that a second?
Yeah, so there's this great program called Education Elevators here in West Virginia, and it pairs an adult, a professional up with a child in third grade through fifth grade, and you get paired up with them typically when they're in third grade, and I'll go down to the local elementary school once a week and spend some time with him and just kind of try to be a positive mentor in the child's life, and just, you know, talk to him about school and what opportunities there are outside of, you know, once they're able to get through their schooling, and just, again, be a positive role model for a kid. I got involved with this about 2 years ago, so I've just finished my second full school year of this process, and I've been paired up with the same young man for 2 years now, and will be again once the school year starts up as he's going into fifth grade. So I've enjoyed it. When I started doing it, I was unsure how it was going to go. A lot of people say, oh, I'm too busy to do things. But at the end of the day, it's only typically, you know, an hour or two of my time a week. So I'll go down on my lunch break or just structure my day in such a way that I can still go and, again, try to be a positive role model.
Well, that's certainly commendable. A couple last questions here. How about our firm in the construction niche. Do you see a direction we're headed, or do you see anything on the horizon for that?
So, you know, as you know, you and I have been spending some time in Ohio and in Kentucky in an effort to kind of push our way out that direction, to get some clients outside of this geographic footprint that we have here in the state of West Virginia. You know, the goal of every business is to be successful and continue to grow. Once you, you know, you've got to identify a market that has that potential to help you do that. We're going to be spending some time in those regions in the next couple of years in hopes of cultivating some relationships and hopefully finding some referral sources and, again, eventually some clients in that area. I think that our construction niche as a whole is poised to be continue to be a very successful part of our firm. We have some great leadership at the partner and director level, and we've got some awesome staff folks that are, you know, in their second, third year in the industry and have really came a long way. And I think that they're really setting us up for success as we continue in the future.
Yes. Yeah. And just touching on that a little bit, I feel like we are set up really well here at the firm with our, like I said, our leadership and our support, our staff, mid-levels. And I wouldn't necessarily call, you know, what our efforts are an expansion, so to speak. Yeah, it's more or less just making ourselves available, and especially in these days and times with remote working, with Teams meetings, with the way that we've become accustomed since COVID, it just makes more and more sense that we open up our geographic market of where we're trying to service. And it's not that we're trying to service anywhere that's further than what we're already servicing. And if it didn't feel comfortable enough to do it, we would stay where we were. But yeah, I think that's a good summarization of what we're trying to do is, you know, just basically serving as many people as we feel comfortable and confident in doing. And we've got a pretty good team.
I'm pretty biased, but I think we're just about as good as it gets when it comes to your construction accounting.
Shucks, Craig, they may put you on a commercial. All right. Well, we're going to wrap this up, but I want to give you a chance for any final comments.
Again, I did not attend the concert in Scotland, but if you get an opportunity to go to Scotland, it's an amazing trip and you should go.
Agree to disagree about you attending. But anyway, thanks a lot, Craig, for being on the podcast today. Everybody, I'm sure, is going to see you around, whether it's presenting at a conference, at a meeting, here at the office, or again, here on the podcast.
Thanks again for having me. And again, as I mentioned earlier in the podcast, if you're interested in learning more about CFMA and helping get a West Virginia chapter off the ground, please feel free to reach out to me. Thanks again, Eddie.
Good deal. Well, there you all have it. That wraps up another episode of Constructive Conversations. Make sure to watch us on YouTube or wherever you get your podcast from. This has been your host, Eddie Thompson. Keep on building, America.